Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Need expert advice on your family's health? Speak to us today. Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, a few weeks back, we had a discussion on the programme about the weird, wonderful, but also shocking items that people can either leave or find on our beaches. And Johnny Woodlock, who's an environmental scientist from Skerries and founder of the Irish Seal Sanctuary, talked to Philip on the show here that day about an extraordinary gift that landed on his doorstep, which caused a bit of a ripple. It was an old, possibly dating from the First or Second World War, live artillery shell, which he handed over to the authorities. But during his conversation, he mentioned the other fascinating bits and pieces he's found during his regular beach cleanups and the other bits that drive him and the beach lovers crazy as well. So we said we had to find out more about his treasure trove, and Evelyn O'Rourke went out to meet Johnny at Skerries to find out more. So Evelyn, you went and you met Johnny Woodlock to find more about all of this.
He's such a fixture out there in Skerries, Johnny. He was born and bred there. He told Philip a few weeks ago that casing that you mentioned there, that's just an extreme example, of course, of the things that beachcombers regularly find on the coast when people want to keep it clean. But he has this van full of fantastic treasures. He uses them to illustrate his talks, so I got to see the good stuff. But he says, Claire, that basically people don't understand how precious the ecosystem is on beaches. They want nice, clean, sandy beaches. He wants to educate people about the importance of letting Mother Nature run the show, you know, the seaweed, the bits like that. He wants us to stop intervening with different beach cleaning systems. I've been on to Fingal County Council, you know, who maintain the beaches, and they're looking into this. If we hear more on this, of course, we'll bring it to you. But at this point, we're going to bring it back to that day when I visited. And we started with Johnny giving me a tour of the beach there in Skerries, where he showed me how human behaviour is to blame for so much of the rubbish and the waste that disrupts this very fragile and precious ecosystem.
This is the South Strand in Skerries.
And it's early on a Friday morning and you're spotting rabbits. I didn't expect to see rabbits there. Yeah.
Now they come out, they seem to feed on the seaweed. There's a clump of briars in the corner here. There's another one there, just moved in.
So you're saying this is all part of the ecosystem here, like even the rabbits are using this area,
yeah,
right by the sea.
As we can see here, the seaweed only extends a couple of hundred yards. Then it's mostly cleaned off for a certain area, for a certain distance from the lifeguard hut. They sweep it into corners or into the dunes. Eventually, the first storm will hit it and it'll be washed out. The seaweed rots, of course, but the plastics and stuff remain.
And you're saying it's not just about the marine life that we think about. It's even rabbits are using it. Like, it's a really important place.
It is. And if you come down here in a quiet morning early, it's full of birds. The birds are feeding on the seaweed, flies and maggots.
OK, so we're going to hop down onto the beach here. We're just going to have a look here.
You can see here in this corner where there's a kind of an oily film coming up from underneath the sand. At times, I've come down here and seen wet wipes kind of coming out of the sand. The place is just full of them.
So I'm looking at the seaweed here. We're going to dig back and look what we find. So there's cloth here.
Oh, that's fabrics.
Fabrics, yeah.
But again, that's plastic fabric.
Yeah, so that's not going to disintegrate, right?
It's not going to disintegrate for a long time.
So what else are we seeing here?
One of the problems at the moment is that the bird flu. We have plenty of bird carcasses.
See a bird carcass there, yeah, buried in deep. Okay.
That's wrapped up in the seaweed.
Okay, plastics. I can see some plastic here. I can see some sweet wrappers.
Just amongst the seaweed here, we have a soft coral, dead man's finger. So there is plenty to see amongst it. But that will rot. That's organic. But you can see all the wet wipes hanging out of it. The seaweed has rotted.
And what was the colostomy bag story? You've come across two.
I've come across two. I don't know how. I found one in Skerries Beach and one in Rush Beach. But it's just an example of what is there.
Oh my goodness.
You weren't expecting that, were you?
I was not. Johnny, such an advocate, we know, for the importance of protecting our coastline. So he's always collecting those weird and wonderful treasures from the beaches, and they help illustrate the talks and the education programmes that he gives.
Of course, because he thrives on sharing his love for the beaches with local people, and he brings all sorts of groups out and gives them those hidden treasures. He's in his element there, Claire. He knows everybody, the fishermen. He seems to know every blade of grass out there. He's a great tour guide to have. So here we are back at the car park, she said nervously. Well, he showed me some more of the exotic souvenirs that he carries in his van to use in his talks, and he's a robust nature lover, Claire, it has to be said.
We're on Red Island in the Skerries, just looking out here. In the distance you can see Rockabilly Lighthouse, which is the largest roseate tern colony in Northern Europe. They have the three islands, Shinnick with a Martello tower on it, Colt Island, and the furthest out is St. Patrick's Island.
One of the reasons we're talking to you is you were talking a few weeks ago about some of the weird and wonderful things that get washed up. For example, this old army missile that everybody was talking about.
Well, that I had asked fishermen if they came across anything unusual to drop it up to me. But I came out one day and there was a shell on my front door, some sort of artillery shell. I brought it over to the Garda station in Milbriggan and caused a real panic.
Not a normal seashell.
No.
So, Johnny, you've more examples of things that you've seen here.
Well, this is from quite locally.
Now, this smells.
You're looking at the skull of an adult grey seal.
I haven't even had my breakfast yet. Love it, yeah? It's in two halves, basically.
Well, the mandibles, the parts of the lower jaw, are separate. We found this about to fall off a carcass on the beach, and we put it in a plastic container in the sea and let the sea dissolve the rest of the flesh off it. But it's still has oil in it, despite the fact that I've boiled it and left it out in the sun for months, but it still does smell. I've had it about 5 years, 6 years.
And it still smells.
There's the skeleton of a sperm whale in a museum, I think in Nantucket, and it still smells after nearly 100 years. Ripe.
What's that?
That's a mermaid's purse, but it's a particularly big mermaid's purse because it's off a white skate. It's the egg case of a skate, which is like a ray. I was fortunate enough that I was given this by Galway Bay Atlantiquarium. Another one that I found locally, this pipefish, which is dried out, that I found on the beach here. They're very closely related to seahorses.
Long, thin exoskeleton.
The head is like a seahorse's. Birds like puffins can catch these and try to feed them to their chicks. And as you can see, it's very hard when it's dried. There's very little nutritional value in them. And some of the chicks starve from these.
He's a wonder. I mean, I'm slightly horrified at some of the things he's telling us about, but I could listen to Johnny all day. He's not alone, though. The community works hard there to preserve the jewel at Skerries.
Yeah, it's the word ripe, I think, killed me. Yes, of course they do. Sure, everyone's delighted themselves out in Skerries, can you imagine? But Emer McLaughlin is one of those very proud local residents. She's involved with so many community groups in this beautiful area. She swims daily with the famous Frosties, those sea swimmers who brave the waters right through the year. She's done tidy towns, she's done beach cleans, you name it, she's there. And she says she's often shocked by the casual way that people leave rubbish on the beach. And she met me there at Red Island as well to talk to me about the seemingly never-ending work of keeping these popular beaches clean. So here she is. She'd had her swim and I met her and she told us more about some of the waste that they've had to deal with.
You're on Red Island, a beautiful promontory that's surrounded by the sea on three sides, and we have five different swimming spots here in Skerries. We've got the South Beach, we've got the Springers, we've got the Captains, and on the other side we've got the North Beach.
Tell us a little bit about the battle to keep your beaches and your coast clean around here.
We have to thank one person from Skerries News editor, Emily Diebold. She called people together and she set up an initiative which is still in operation called Adopt a Beach. So I'm also on the committee of Tidy Towns and we used Emily's idea for the town itself. So we've had problems along the beach. As you can know, we have the major litter. Despite lots of initiatives, we still have a lot of disposable coffee cups and plastic bottles. Now, Skerries Tidy Towns had a very positive initiative to ask people to use reusable cups. But because we're beside the sea, we also have debris from the sea, from the outflowing rivers, microplastic, which is very dangerous to the whole environment and to biodiversity.
What kind of stuff do people come across when you do, say, the beach cleans in particular?
Cable ties, plastic bags that have been let to disintegrate, lids of bottles. Coffee cups are a huge issue, you know, pizza boxes.
Disposable vapes.
We haven't come to grips with them yet. They're everywhere.
Really?
Yeah. And then you have to try and pick up the pieces that have to go to electric recycling. You can't put them in the general bins, you see. The vape stuff is new. You see it everywhere.
You're pointing to me to a bike that you think was retrieved out of the sea.
Yeah. So these are the electric bikes, but they're left. I don't know how they managed not to track the people down. They're all over the place.
Yeah. They're abandoned?
They're abandoned. There's one this morning that I think was pulled in out of the sea.
Because it's got no saddle.
No, it's wrecked and it also looks like it's been in the sea.
Bags of dog poo that people leave on the beach. It's an amazing thing to do, isn't it?
I don't know why they leave the bags. It is very hard to control that.
Tell me how you feel about the impact when you do a clean-up.
Absolutely positive, and we get a great response from the community.
So that's Emer, and there's an area at the back of the sandy beachfront which is covered in grass, isn't there,
yeah.
Evelyn? And they're preserving that for the bees and they're encouraging bee pollination.
Yeah, it's just such a rich area there. You know, Johnny brought along a friend of his, Charlie, who's a retired fisherman who also does eco walks. He's really keen to get that message out there about the bee pollination area that they're developing there. So here Johnny gave me some sobering details about the kind of rubbish that humans dump as well and that ongoing impact on wildlife. So we start with Charlie. He's going to describe that bee pollination work, and then Johnny gives me more details about the cost to the wildlife, including, Claire, he shared a photo with me of a seal seen recently in Howth with a plastic band wrapped loosely around his neck. So Johnny gives us more details on that too.
We're here on the South Strand. Okay, people come from over there, get out their cars and walk through here and go to the beach. Very few people realise what a rich habitat these dunes actually are. We have a rare species of bumblebee in here, and we're trying to conserve this bee here.
So if people just be aware that that's what they're treading on.
We do have a very, very rich pollinator habitat here.
They don't think of it beside the sea. Like, you're yards away from the edge of the water. That just wouldn't occur to me.
No, exactly. But we have this strip along here, which is an incredibly important area for biodiversity, pollinators, insects, the whole shebang.
People don't realise what is there. It's easier to kind of just walk through it. And if it's not tidy, it needs to be tidied up. Recently, there's been a bull seen spotted in Howth. Now, there is a resident population in Howth Harbour that seems to leave every time the lobster boats go out, because, of course, they take out the old bait and throw it overboard so the seals know that there's food coming to them, you know. But recently, one has been spotted with a tough plastic packing straps.
You have a photograph there.
This one actually isn't too tight because it's fairly recent on it. It won't be doing too much harm to him. We are hoping that somebody will be able to hook it off with a boat hook or such, but to try and catch that seal. This guy was first reported about 10 days ago.
With the plastic.
With the plastic. He's still in Howth, still with this thing around him. It's just a kind of a reminder that anybody who's opening packages or boxes that have these plastic straps around them, to make sure they cut it at least once before they dispose it. It does endanger wildlife, particularly the likes of seals.
Johnny and Emer and all the crew doing great work out there in Skerries. Evelyn, thank you very much for bringing that to us. Now, coming up in the next hour with a new Dáil term on the horizon, we're going to discuss the big political talking points. Adam Maguire will be back with his inflation shopping basket, and Harry Barry and Anne-Marie Craven are here with tips for young people on how to protect their mental health.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.